Blog Talk Radio.
Indians got a pop thread
it is got so. Many of you know that I'm there as Medicine Man, Witch Doctor, for the legendary Yellow Pocahontas Indian tribe here in New Orleans. So I'm sewing. I can't tell day from night right now. I don't really have a set schedule. My schedule is sewing and then sleep and everything else, eating, living, working, falls down lower on the list of. And it is a state of being. It is a state of consciousness to be able to do this, to pull this off every year. But it's also an opportunity for me to get inside my head, my spirit. You're beating one bead at a time, several beads at a time. It's a very labor, hand-intensive act of commitment and love to an art and to a culture. But you also find yourself, I do anyway, with a lot of time to just hear, listen, and feel from my spirit side, from my right brain, while my left brain are more analytical, logical, team-based side of our brain can do the sewing, the repetitive sewing, beating, lock them down, sewing, beating, lock them down. And this is a great entryway, if you will, into the continuation of my topic on yesterday about ancestral worship and honor being a 365-day a year, 24-hour-a-day vocation. It's more than just what we say. It's more than just what we represent, more than just what we post, more than what we say we believe. Belief, as with many other words in modern culture, have taken on various connotations, some not always healthy or positive. People are sort of in an anti-religious mode, so any belief, faith, words of that nature stir up some controversy. And a part of my goal, my journey here with secrets and recipes, is not to break protocol, share sacred information necessarily on the public airways, but to bring clarity and understanding to that which is common, which should be common to us all, and to put it in a context that doesn't dumb it down or lessen it, but make it more available, more palatable to many more people. So when we talk about ancestral honor, ancestral worship, feeding our ancestors, pouring libation to our ancestors, kneeling, lying, sitting before our ancestral altars, shrines, and spaces, many of the more practical questions and feelings that begin to rise for many people are, what do I do? What should be done? From a ritualistic perspective, but also from a more practical, organic perspective, what should I be feeling? What should be happening? What should I be experiencing? So in that understanding, in my ministry, it's critical that people understand dimensional space, dimensional realities, and sometimes we'll talk about, as we did yesterday, relative truth, absolute truth. There's another language that could be used, which would be law, universal laws, which are both mutable and immutable. But the understanding is critical operating in any magical practice, any indigenous spiritual tradition, whether it be within ATR, Voodoo, Lokomi, Ifa, or any other spirit-based tradition. Understanding being present in the moment, you know, when you're at work, when you're driving, when you're in a communication, even when you're reading a document, you want to be in the moment. You want to be present. You want to receive what information is there to be received in that moment. If you're in conversation with someone, there's language, there's words. If you're present physically, then there's facial expression and body language and many cues that are not always verbal that operate in various other realms of reality or dimensional space that make that experience whole and complete for us. So when we sit before our shrine, when we sit before our ancestors, before any ritual application, we want to be present in that moment. But understanding that now we are opening a door, we are now inviting in, we are now operating in spirit space as well. Because our dead loved ones, our ancestors, our spirit guides don't necessarily exist within the confines of our physical reality. So it is a spiritual dimensional space. But keeping it scientific, from a quantum metaphysical perspective, these spaces are reality. It has been proven mathematically that in order for us to have this quote-unquote reality, we must exist in 11 dimensional spaces, at least 11, in order to have just this one sense of unified reality that we all believe we have and we experience. But often mood, attitude, energy, perception, information, experience, all these other things can be viewed as dimensional spaces unto themselves, but they definitely have some immediate effect on what we think, what we believe, how we feel in any given moment. So the recreating creation of a space that is conducive to, that is in line with our reality, our presumed reality, even our projected or the reality we wish to obtain, we wish to operate in, must be brought into the present. And various religions, various traditions, various practices have various ways of doing that. But to keep it simple without arguing over path, practice, we're just building with the mechanics right now. Now, one of my favorite implements, many of my regular listeners know, is crystal. And crystal, quartz crystal, natural quartz crystal, and what I mean by that is the polished varieties. I'm not talking against jewelry or size, but for the shopper who shops within a budget or range. But right now I'm talking about spirit. It's a completely different dimension. But when you go into the store and say, oh, I'm looking for a gift, I'm looking in a certain price range, maybe I'm looking for jewelry, maybe I'm looking for size, that's one-dimensional reality. But there's also that person that's operating on spirit. Doesn't matter what it costs, doesn't matter the size, doesn't matter how pretty, doesn't matter where it is in the shop. It's the energetic connection that can be interpreted as a separate reality, a separate dimensional space. So other than using the words belief, faith, you know, which again have connotations of negative and positive in the modern pop cultural sense, I try to make it more basic, more scientific, more quantum metaphysical, if you will, to avoid that argument those arguments, which become the distraction. My preference for quartz minerals is that they work in many ways similar to how we ingest vitamins, minerals, because they're the same thing. Some health persons even suggest we shouldn't be internalizing vitamins, commercial vitamins, for this very reason, because they're just powdered down minerals, if you will, and it's been suggested that they do not pass through, they do not digest in our body in a sort of natural, organic way as they would in food, in organic food products. But anyway, keeping on track, but my belief and my teaching is that they work energetically from the outside in a similar sort of way that we think they work from the inside out. And they fill in where we're lacking. They can resonate with consistent vibrational patterns, which is why they're used in computer technology. That vibrational pattern is consistent with a large piece, with a small piece, sometimes even with a fractured piece, depending on what you're trying to gain from that crystal. So in setting up altars and setting up spirit space and working with Loa and working with spirit and working with Orisha and working with ancestor, crystal is universal to the planet and universal to the indigenous cultures of the world for bringing clarity, consistency, balance, sometimes color, perception, perspective, and many more words I could pull right now that resonate the abilities, the qualities that crystal, and particularly quartz crystal, bring to us. So being able to create space, being able to move, if you will, from one space, one dimensional reality, one dimensional consciousness to another, even in a moment's notice, is natural to humans, but is also critical to the process of being, quote unquote, spiritual, being conscious, being able to operate in the realm of spirit in a very real and tangible that provides you some real response, some real benefit. Many of the laws that govern spirit, that govern magic, have some mathematical, some scientific basis or equations. Like our world, our culture, particularly Western society, has driven a divide between what used to at one time be unified in the more indigenous world, the older consciousness of the world. Philosophy, religion, art, music, math, medicine even, psychology, all of these things were once unified but now have been divided, and some more than others, almost to a point of conflict, to a point of belief that you cannot have one and the other, or some balance of the two. But part of the gift, the specialty that is being human, is that we walk in those worlds daily, whether you're conscious of it or not, whether you're in awareness of it or not, whether you take the time to sort of direct that experience or not, it's something that we do. You could be well focused on a task and hear a particular sound outside the house, maybe metal crunching, crashing. Your attention, your reality, your consciousness, your dimensional space is immediately split just within your head first, even before it begins to manifest by your maybe consciously listening or then getting up to look and see what that sound was, or being responsive. Sometimes when I'm in meditative space, I'm not responsive to any of those outward sounds, and that's part of the process, the experience in being meditative and being spirit conscious. So, no, you can't come into spirit-based religion, particularly voodoo, Ifa, religions that have Orisha and Loa and deities, and be earthbound, your feet so firmly planted in physical reality that if you can't see it, hear it, touch it, taste it, you can't get the benefit of the spirit experience, because you must first be open. Even before the experience, you must first be open to it. Even if you haven't had that experience before, had a certain awareness, and that inner work, as we talked about yesterday, is difficult for a lot of people. It's more difficult than many of the physical survival-based things that we have to do as humans here on the planet. We sort of get into a rhythm. We sort of get into a routine in spirit, so that we can physically navigate earth life every day, but that process of changing inner work, inner thoughts, inner programming is often more difficult than any physical task, earthly task that we need to do. Poverty, being broke, saying that I am poor. My problem with that is once you say I am poor, you are now operating in a dimensional space that is an absolute as opposed to a relative one. I might not have money now, but maybe I have an uncashed check in my wallet or two, or a stash somewhere, or something that I know is coming. Payday might be tomorrow, or a gift might be coming. Sometimes that's known, sometimes that's not always unknown, but it doesn't make you any less prosperous. It doesn't make you any less than you are, because the relative circumstance is what it is in the moment. So word usage, how we yesterday about some in our community that now have a problem with I create my reality, because they're so focused, inner focused, on negative and the negative experience, then that becomes their only prism by which to process this information through. So they drudge up every negative experience that they've had, this life and the past, sometimes back to slavery and beyond, and get stuck in that, and then that becomes the crystal by which they view all reality, all manifestation, forgetting that there's an absolute and there's a realm of relative. There's a realm that's constantly ever-changing, ever-transforming, ever being recreated by you, by life forces, by the weather, by experience, reality that's being created, that's being shaped, that's being molded, that's being plied, if you will, internally, from the inside, from the spirit realm, from that realm that we believe is the truth, is the real realm, is the reality. Our physical is relative, is constantly in changing, is constantly in flux, is constantly in motion, and is a part of our relative experience, our relative reality. But there is a persistent, consistent, absolute truth of who we are, what we are, that resonates, that vibrates across DNA, across time, across generations, across space, can always connect to. So whether it's in your crystal, your amulet, your talisman, your altar, your shrine, a particular place, the woods, the park, the beach, the river, the lake. There's a physical place that we travel to, that we operate in, but then there's also a spirit place that we open the door to, that we open a window to. Being in the church doesn't mean that you are in the church. Being physically present in the building does not mean that you are spiritually connected to the moment, to the God, to the practice, to the vibration that's being generated there. So being clear about absolute space, relative space, what's important now versus what's important forever. Not having what you need in this moment does not mean that you won't have it moments later, the next day, later in that day. You know, it does not limit the opportunity for growth, manifestation, and creation. As always, I've quickly run out of time, but I will be back with more hoodoo, New Orleans voodoo secrets and recipes here on Blog Talk Radio, live at 12 noon U.S. Central Standard Time. All is indeed and truly a blessing. Ashe.
Congo Square. The Omus Indians prepared this place for us. Centuries before our arrival, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated, the Omus Indians prepared this place for us. Centuries before our arrival, Congo Square, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated, and as the colonizers came, our host, the Omus Indians, they pushed aside our host. The colonizers came and pushed aside our host and introduced us in chains. And by the late 1700s, we somehow, recognizing the sacredness of Les Places de Congo, we somehow, and the how of our somehow persuasive methodologies is not clear at this moment. The how is not clear. How our persuasive methodologies worked is not clear at this moment. But nevertheless, even as slaves, we crafted and created a space where we could be free to be we. And thusly, we countered the sacrilegiousness of the French, giving great homage to our ancestors as well as giving praise and thanks to our red-blooded brothers and sisters. This is an oral libation toast to Congo Square, to Native Americans, to our ancestors who made a circle out of a square and gave us a way to stay ourselves, save ourselves from the transformatory ugliness of America, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life. Which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life and celebrates death with crosses and crosses, double and triple crosses, the middle passage, the first cross, Christianity, the double cross, and capitalism, the ultimate triple coup de grace cross of our captivity. But the terror of crosses notwithstanding, we sang. We beat, we be, we was and is. Hail Congo Square, Congo, Congo Square. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us, inside the beat of us. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us until we are ready to release them into a world that we recreate, a world heralded by the beat, beating of black heart drums. Heart beat at this place, we beating place in new world space, beating being in place in new world, preserving our ancient pace. Our dance is the God walk, our music the God talk. First thing we do, let's get together, circle ourselves into community. No beginning, no end, connected together and singing in a ring. Second, let's be original, aboriginal, be what we were before we became what we are. Be bambula dance, be banza music, and sing song words which have no English translation. Third, let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. The bounce, the blood flow, the feel, the spirit grow, energy must retain and pass on the essential usness that others want to dissipate, whip out of us.
Whoa!
But no matter how much of us they prohibit, no matter how much of us they prohibit, deep inside us is us. Deep inside us is us. Remains us inside and needs only the beat to set us free. The beat to free us. It is morning, a sun day, a feel without shade, but dark with the people black of us in various shades, eclipsing the sun with our elegance. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. Beat Congo Square. Be Congo Square. Beat. be. Remember. Remember.